Welcome back, Raw Thoughts, to another episode with me, Mackenzie Tiggs, where I bring on individuals and we just talk about their lives, kind of where they've been, where they are, and where they're going. I am super privileged to bring on Sam Schwab with Standby for Tones. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I'm so excited to be here. It's going to be really fun.
Yes, I am too. So a little backstory. We actually met in Magic Valley when I was in paramedic school, and you kind of got to precept me.
Yeah, it was super fun. Those were exciting times. We did a lot of crazy stuff throughout your guys' whole class. Like that was one of the most fun classes I ever got to have in a student-preceptor relationship on the face of the earth. I mean, like all of you guys were super fun to be a part of.
We had a fun class. We had a little bit of a shit show scenario just during the whole time, but everybody had such positive mindsets that it was incredible to be around and still being friends with so many of those people in, you know, in the career later.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like your class is probably one of the classes that I keep in touch with the most out of all of the paramedic students I've seen in the last 8+ years of being in the Magic Valley. Like, it's been super cool.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what your background is in EMS.
Yeah. So my background, it spreads long and far and wide. I started as a lonely little EMT up in Ketchum, Idaho, working for a part-time paid-on-call agency, doing a couple runs a month, it seemed like, and then just kind of grew from there. I went to paramedic school in Boise at the renowned College of Western Idaho paramedic program. With I'll do a shout out to old Dexter Hunt and Doug Jay, two of the most extreme people I've ever met in my entire life. I ended up in Twin in the year of 2015 ish, and then just my paramedic career blew up from there, from doing ground EMS to education to flight paramedicine. And you know, just over the last 13 years since I started, has just grown into this monster that I can't seem to get away from, but love every second of.
Yeah. You have always had such a drive and a passion for the education piece.
Yeah. The education, it is insurmountable to everything that we need to know as EMS providers, from EMR to EMT Advanced to paramedic. There's always something that needs to be either refreshed on, relearned. We need to grow upon that knowledge, just instead of getting that little like, hey, this is this and it does this, but giving them that why on why this does this, because it's a big deal. We have to know how medications work, body systems work, and we know that paramedic level education is not the greatest thing that has ever come out of the world. We can all go to these big, beautiful, amazing colleges, but you know, they tell us that we have this physician level of medicine under a direct protocol, but we don't really know a lot of what we're doing sometimes. So we have to learn that why behind it. And that's what I love to do the most, is get people that why.
Yeah. And I want you to touch on explaining a little bit to the listeners, because you and I know the language of EMR, EMT, paramedic, flight paramedic. I want you to break it down just very simply of what those are.
Yeah, absolutely. So EMR, that is our lowest level of emergency medical responder. They're called emergency medical responders. They can do non-transporting EMS care. They can do backboarding, take vital signs. They're an essential, really kind of important role in our little tiny communities, like our Castle Fords, these little tiny areas in South Central Idaho that we run into. Then our EMT is our next level. That's our emergency medical technician, usually a basic level. They are full ambulance time clinicians. They can now start IVs. They can do medications. They can do all of these things that were never possible because we're able to progress our education a little bit better. And they're really the backbone of the EMS world in general. Then you've got your advanced EMT, which is your middle ground between EMT basic and paramedic, which allows them to do IVs and medications like the EMT basics. They have some basic cardiology. They do some basic rhythm interpretation, 12-lead EKGs, and they just kind of have a higher scope of practice. Then you've got your paramedic, which is the highest level of the ground ambulance. I was going to call them the lords of the ground ambulances, but we're not going to say that.
They are not the paragods.
Nope, they're not the paragods. We're getting away from that, but they're the highest level of EMS provider on the ground side. And then you have your flight paramedics, which can either be critical care transport, certified or flight paramedic certified. And those are the ones that will do the continuation of care. The paramedics are phenomenal at doing our right here, right now, fix the dying person. And then in the air is when that continuation of care, the blood products, the advanced medications, the ventilator management, anything that needs to be done for a long period of time that they've trained and trained and trained for is where they come into.
Yeah. And a lot of times the dynamic on the flight crew is what?
The dynamic on the flight crew. So we have a paramedic, a flight paramedic, and a nurse, which was really hard for me to get used to. Because usually all we do is bicker back and forth with nurses when we're going in and out of the ER because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. They put us on the wall. You know, we're standing there waiting for a room. So trying to build that relationship's a little bit harder. Then you get into this flight realm and you have these badass nurses that you get to know that you've never met in your entire life. They've been doing it forever and they take you under their wing as this little tiny paramedic that's going to go fly in a tiny helicopter in the middle of Nevada somewhere. And it's just this cool thing. I mean, you turn into like your best friends like you do on the ambulance. It just takes a little bit more time to get used to each other because your knowledge base is a bit higher. So it's kind of going from like the high school, college clickiness to like the true like Division I athletes of emergency transport medicine.
Yeah. They're the people that you really look up to because of the time in service, mm-hmm. the education that they have gathered, and their experience. You know, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, to get to that level, you have to have the time and the education on the ground as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, I love the ground ambulance, and I love you explaining all of those things because to the general public, they don't understand the difference between an EMT or a paramedic or why these, you know, are maybe taking a little bit longer. Why, you know, in these remote places of Idaho, you know, 87% of our population is remote. We don't mm-hmm. actually have a full-time EMS crew there.
Yeah.
And our state is, you know, a very adventurous place. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of backcountry that we get into. And that is where the flight crews come in so, you know, astronomically of the help. Like, I could not tell you how many times, you know, seeing, like, calling in a helicopter and seeing the helicopter, I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, they're here. Like, you know, like, because they are. They have the education. They just have so much more possibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, even though that they're in a smaller, you know, area, they do have a lot more possibilities within medication and ventilation and things that we just can't do on the ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say either, like, your patient's going to get to the hospital faster. You know,
100%.
Like, that golden hour really does come into effect with that flight crew.
Yeah. No, it's incredible the places that you can go land, and it's a completely different feeling of when we spent our time on the ground ambulances to where we're at now, flying around in little tiny aircraft all around the states. It's yeah, insane.
It really is. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you're talking about clinicians, you're talking about these people that, you know, are working underneath of a medical director, but yet they still have to get that education. They still have to climb those ladders from, you know, you can't be a paramedic without getting your EMT, and you can't, you know, get your critical care paramedic without being your paramedic. How do you continue that education to going to the next level?
Yeah. So this is a hot topic in the U.S. right now, because this is hard, because we're governed by, you know, the National Registry of Emergency Medical Technicians. They're a huge corporation that governs everything emergency medical services wide. Then you've got your state branches underneath them that govern everything that happens within the state. So, you know, you have to have multiple licensures. Everybody requires different education. But now, I didn't look at it before I came. I meant to, but you can go and take an EMT class anywhere. High schoolers get EMT classes, mm-hmm. all of these things. Then you can transition to advanced, or you can go straight to becoming a paramedic at 18 years old. As long as you're 18 years old and have a valid EMT basic licensure, you can go to school and get a paramedic licensure. As of about a year ago, they had been throwing around the thought of getting rid of all accredited paramedic programs again. I went to an accredited paramedic program, but I went to a certificate kind of like a developmental program. But they wanted to get more paramedics in, and nobody wanted to go to school for 2 years because they were like, you guys had been doing it in 6 months to a year. Why do I have to go to school for 3 to 4 years to get the same thing and the same quality, and sometimes even a less quality because they spend so much time in school that they forget a lot of these things. The biggest thing that happens when we're at a paramedic school is that loss of fundamental education. And it's really sad because we go and we have all of this knowledge underneath our belt. We want to go and save the world. We want to go and do things. And then you meet those patients that you don't know how to do anything for. Mm-hmm. And where do you go for that? You can go to two places. You can go to a coworker, or you can go to your medical director. And if they don't have the answers, then it's on you. And that's the hardest part, is because coming from agencies that have had really sound education systems, some that don't have sound education systems, and one that, frankly, I never got any education from in my early stages of getting started before I was even a paramedic, was really hard to even maintain my licensures to stay working, to mm-hmm. keep money coming in, because I have to have so many hours every 2 years and every 4 years and all of these other certifications that I have to meet, that if I don't get these hours and I don't get the continuing higher level education, then people are shit out of luck. Then they're not going to get EMS providers anymore.
Right, right. And with, you know, I run into these with EMTs that I work with even now, mm-hmm. is that the pay is so low. And then you're trying to get this continuing education, and mm-hmm. the continuing education is so high of pay that now they're like, is it even worth it? Is it worth it to actually continue to get my licensure and renew it because it's so expensive?
Yeah. Education is insanely expensive right now. If you don't work for a large hospital that has a built-in education budget, or a private ambulance service that has an education budget, or somewhere in the county that will help you provide you with like your ACLS, your PALS, your BLS, anything that will get you towards that, you're going to be spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year, or over 2 years, I guess I should say, to be able to recertify your education, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We should be paying people to go and get the education that they need. They shouldn't be paying astronomical amounts out of pocket to go and get their education that they want to do. We need to stop limiting people on the education that they want so they can be become better clinicians. And it's hard. Yeah. I mean, my last critical care recertification, if I wouldn't have had an agency that paid for it, I would have been out $1,500 or more for one certification.
Wow.
Yeah, just for the recertification course, and the cost of the relicensure in general is $500 every time I have to renew that licensure. And then a course is insane, anywhere from $800 to $1,200.
Yeah, and it's so important to continue having that education because, you know, medicine is a practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, oh, well, why are we changing it? And it's like, because we've learned. You have mm-hmm. to, you know, look at these clinical studies of what is happening with the patients long term, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how you understand, okay, we have the golden hour. We have these protocols because we've learned from how we've treated the patients. And so that is what you're getting educated on, is because dosages can change, you know, protocols can change. These are the things that you need to continue to educate yourself on. And the fact that, you know, it may have been 4 years that you haven't seen a pregnant woman, you know, or having a pregnancy. That isn't things that you see on the day-to-day aspect of the job. But yet, we still have to know it in our brain.
Yeah. It's insane on the rote memorization that we have. And the amazing recall that we have to maintain these things, because if you don't pick up a book between the time that you last did your research and the time that you're going to do it again, you're going to forget a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's probably more in paramedic school that I've forgotten at this point, just because it's stuff that I haven't looked over than I can even think about. Like, there's some years where I feel like it'd be good just to go back to paramedic school every now and again, just to get those basic fundamentals of like, this is how this works, or, you know, this is the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell, or something like that. Yeah. Just something completely random that could go around.
Yeah.
But
so I know you have such a pull for this education. I want you to tell us what you're doing with this. I mean, we see that there's a problem and you're trying to come with a solution. What are you trying to do?
Yeah. So this has been big. So So myself and a couple friends, you remember Isaac, and so Isaac Baker, myself, we have an IT wizard. He's our little IT hobbit. His name's Tad Gill, and our medical director, Chuck. We came together a couple years ago. This is actually pretty funny. It was a thought that came from the old porcelain throne when you're sitting there and you have your best ideas in the world, right? I mean, you got to have your best ideas while you're doing your thinking. And I'm sitting there and I was just like, Isaac, we need to start an education business. Like, I got shut down by an agency trying to do the same thing. And I'm almost kind of glad that that happened, because I think the potential now is far, we can reach more people this way. I think it's a good thing that it happened. And so what we're doing is we're going through and we're creating, you know, mobile friendly, online friendly, everything that you can think of, from emergency medical responder to critical care paramedic certified, flight paramedic certified, refresher education, so they can come to one place no matter what licensure they have, whether they're a nurse, they're a paramedic, an EMT, an advanced, an EMR, they can all get their state approved, their national registry approved education at a cost friendly price to them. We don't want people to break the bank. We want people to come and learn from us and support our business by purchasing through that, of course, but we don't want to charge $1,200. Mm-hmm. We don't want to charge $2,000 to an EMT that's already struggling to put food on their table, because they're making $12 an hour, which is ridiculous. I'm sure we'll get into that at some point.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can't afford that. And then to have state licensure fees on top of that, I mean, like, we want it to be as cost-friendly as possible. We want it to be mobile. We want them to have fun. We've put so much time and effort into getting this going. Right now, we have all of our critical care stuff done. We're finishing up our book. And then we're going to start going down the line from paramedic, advanced, EMT, and EMR, and just kind of start getting everybody the things they need to succeed at a really friendly cost for them.
Yeah. And a very digestible.
Yes.
Manner. I mean, I was privileged to see some of these, you know, courseworks before we started on the podcast, and just being able to look at the actual content of it is, it's a reference guide.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to have a reference guide, but you're also to look at that and say, well, why is that way? And now it elaborates a little bit more for you. And this is something that is so extremely important, because we're having a lack of people even getting into the service. Like, we can't get paramedics hired. We don't have enough people. Our, you know, like the registration to getting into EMT school, into paramedic school, has been slashed. I mean, I want to say it's like over 50% after COVID drop.
Yeah.
In people actually applying to go to these schools.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it, that you can go and make a lot more money with zero risk to your health and to your life, and, you know, not have to go to school, in a lot of ways, there's a lot better options at some point. It's just, it's sad to see in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, I do want to touch on this before we forget, but there's two things. One, I think it's incredibly important that you had actually said that you getting shut down actually has opened up more doors for you.
Yeah, it was. That gave me goosebumps, because it when I first got shut down, it touched a nerve like bad, because I did education for a fairly large agency for about 2 years, and we had all of these high level providers that needed this education that couldn't afford and couldn't go out, or their time wouldn't allow it, to go spend thousands of dollars to pay for this package from other companies. And it was like, well, why don't we offer it in-house? Let's do this. This is something that we can do. And then to get a quarter or half of the way through and have the plug completely pulled and say, you won't do that, that opened up far more doors than me having that sit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just the amount of people, like you said, that you're able to reach is far greater, is far wider, you know. And the importance of that, you know, for the listeners, is that you knew that you wanted to get this education and you didn't let that door closing on you limit you.
No. That sparked a fire between myself and the old education world, and it fueled that fire more than anything, because I don't like being told no often. I understand when I have to be told no, especially when it's something that comes down to people's livelihoods and the safety of our public and the ability for people to be taken care of on a day-to-day basis, then they can piss off, man. I mean, like, if they don't want it to be something big, badass, and cool, then I'm going to take it myself and turn it into this monster where we're now able to give education to providers in all 50 states, nurses, EMTs, paramedics in all 50 states, instead of just limiting ourselves to one. Having that one door shut on us opened up 50 more for us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was insane. And I know we're just getting going now, but I mean, like, it was the coolest thing in the world. And did it sting in the beginning? Yes.
Yeah.
Does it sting now? Absolutely not.
No. And I think that sting is what, you know, kind of like got you on fire, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, no. Like, I know that this is bigger. And for you to just see the passion behind this and also say, no, I know the importance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and continuing to push beyond people saying, I don't think you can do it. And, you know, you can't do it here. Doesn't mean you can't do it out to the world.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that for listeners is, you know, sometimes those doors shutting for you are really opening up other possibilities, and let it sting for a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
also don't let those people in their comments take a toll on you and say, gosh, I'm going to listen to them. You know, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I can't, if they don't believe in me and I can't believe in myself, you know, fuck that.
Yeah.
Give that as, you know, the propellant and the drive and the push to go say, no, let me show you.
Yeah. I love it when people say, you'll never do that, or you can't do that, or that will never happen, because that gives me every ounce of my soul and my being to prove them absolutely fucking wrong
mm-hmm.
in every way, shape, and form, because
yeah.
I will make it happen.
Yeah. And
some way, shape, or form, it will happen.
Yeah. And that is what helps, you know, you continue to fight with, you know, kind of yourself
mm-hmm.
is like, no, like, I'm not going to say fight, but I'm going to say motivate.
Yeah.
Like, that gives you actually the more motivation for yourself to continue to do that, because it is a grind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is not a day that goes by that I'm sure that you're like, oh my gosh, do I really have to work on this? Like, now we need to get these things done, or now I need to write this concept, or, you know, look at the graphics. Like, following your dreams is not this glorious, beautiful path.
No. We talked about this on the phone, a couple weeks ago, of like how many times we sat there starting these small businesses and podcasting and YouTube videos and all these things to try and build this that we just wanted to be done. And it's every day I keep going back to it. I don't know why, because I love doing it, absolutely. But I mean, like, it is so hard to pick one thing and roll with it for a little bit. But it's turned out to be this really awesome, awesome thing that we can do.
That's awesome. So the second thing, I know that was a long-winded conversation,
yeah.
but I love it.
Yeah.
I want you to really talk about the pay, right? EMTs getting paid $12 an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you the year, 2023, EMTs that are working on these ambulances, that when you call 911, and you've fallen and broken your hip, or you're having a heart attack or a stroke or a car wreck, these people coming and responding to you are getting paid $12 an hour.
Yeah. That is absolutely asinine in my book. So when I first started as my first EMT job, straight out of high school, you know, worked in a pizzeria making $13 an hour, $14 an hour. And then I go and be an EMT for a fire department. They're like, we're going to start you off at $12 an hour. I lost money going from throwing dough at one of the best pizza restaurants in my hometown to going and having to be on an ambulance or a fire truck. That was ridiculous. And then when I got my paramedic license, my raise was 50 cents. I got $12.50 an hour to be a paramedic in a small full-time or in a small rural area. I know that's changed now. That was 13 years ago.
Right.
But even now, when we're getting word back, I mean, like, it's pretty apparent when you have things like Fishbowl and Indeed and all of these wage kind of processing apps or websites that you can share your wages on. Like, when you see all these people going in and making $12 an hour, it's like, how did we even start there? Why aren't these people going to McDonald's and making $15 and $17 an hour? The McDonald's down the street from my house starts at $17.50 or $18 an hour. Like, it's insane. And we are giving these people the ability to save and or harm people without the proper education, the power to do that for $12 an hour. And paramedics at $20 to $24 an hour. It's ridiculous.
Yep. And it's sickening because we are seeing people exit the EMS realm and go and work at the Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, we are seeing people avoid going and actually working on the ambulance. They have the knowledge, they're EMTs, but yet they're working at these fast food places because they're getting paid more there. They don't have to see dead people. They don't have to see, you know, these traumatic experiences. Yeah. They don't have to have the community coming and talking trash to them or putting themselves in these situations of harm of these people to protect the community. And, you know, that is one thing that got me out of the working realm of 911.
Yeah.
$20,000 pay cut.
Yeah.
To do my same job.
Yeah. And the crazy thing, too, is a lot of agencies, when you go from working ground ambulances to going and flying, it's a pay cut, which is mind-blowing to me. It's nationwide where you'll see people go and advance their career to fly, to take care of the sickest of sick patients, from ventilators to ECMO, whatever you want to put in that realm of their scope of practice, to take a pay cut to go and do something more for themselves. And it's disheartening. It really is. It's sad because, you know, I don't think that we deserve the world. I don't think that EMS in all regards is the most, you know, polished of our emergency responders. I mean, we look at our fire department, say we're class A, class Bs, and then you got the people in the shitbox ambulances rolling around with their t-shirts on. They look like hell because they've been up for 24 hours at a time doing the grunt work that nobody else wants to do, and they get paid dog shit for it.
And yet they still want to continue to come back and do it.
Yeah. I blame the schedule.
I mean, there is such a passion behind it, though.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember in, you know, in having these conversations with people, it's like, we can't just all up and leave and quit at the same time because we do care about our community. We do care about the people that we're serving. We do care so much about the other people that they are still willing to continue to come back. And they are still willing to do these things, but yet they're not prepared with their education. They're not prepared with their mental health. They're not prepared, you know, with the funds. I know a paramedic that, you know, a couple weeks ago, he worked 102 hours.
No.
102 hours in the week to just be able to put food on their table.
Yeah. I mean, where I'm at now, we do 96-hour shifts, but I have a 12-day weekend after every shift. Like, that is how it works. 100 and however many hours you said is insane. Like, you couldn't pay me enough money to work just to put food on my table for 100 hours. That is, it's sad.
It is,
it's
sad.
It's not worth it.
It's sad. And the hard thing, you know, and I want to share this with the community because there's multiple people in these situations. There is multiple people that are picking up, you know, they have their full-time EMS jobs and then they have their part-time EMS jobs. And part-time does not mean that it's part-time hours.
Yeah.
It's just saying, you know, maybe you don't get the benefits, but you still are working 48 hours as part-time.
And that's just so they can meet and make ends meet.
Yeah.
To have two jobs.
Now I'll give them time to, you know, get education.
Yeah. That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
Especially when you have a full-time and a part-time job. I struggle doing my part-time job or my flex position education and my full-time jobs education. And I only work like 86 days a month or 86 days or 90 plus days a year, depending on what I want to work. Like, and it's still a lot in those regards. Like, I can't imagine having a full-time ambulance job, doing a 24 on, 24 off, 24 on, 4 days off. And in that 4 days, going and working another 2 days, having to do another 48 hours of education a month or 12 hours of education, whatever it is. But that is so much that it is, there's no time for cognitive offloading.
Yeah. Talk about having a family and having kids. Now you got education. Now, I mean, no wonder why we're having such a struggle with our mental health with first responders. Yeah. Look what we're putting them through.
Yeah. I mean, divorce rate is through the roof. Right? Mm-hmm. Our mental health is shit, to be completely honest. I mean, like, it took me a long time to dig out of a mental health hellhole for a while. And then just like, you have to be able to live, and there's no time for that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because the volume's only getting more busy. Nobody's getting slower.
Right.
Nobody. Even the small little 50 person towns, they're running more calls these days.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time for any offloading of what you need to do for your life.
Right.
And it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you got to that point. Like, you are in this mental health hellhole, right?
Yeah.
And like, what was your pivotal moment?
So that is, that's a long story. I'm going to try and keep short. So I did what every new paramedic does and every new EMT does. I'm going to get on that truck, I'm going to save the world, and I'm not going to stop until somebody makes me stop. Mm-hmm. And nobody made me stop. Nobody said, you can't work that many hours. Nobody said that you have to take a break. There's not one time that it was like, you have too many hours on this pay period. Thank you for picking those up, but you need to take a couple days off for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is what burnt me into the ground. And, you know, that was 100% my fault. And, you know, could you have more oversight on those sides of things of like, maybe this person's working too many hours, but like, they understand, like, you got to be able to provide your home. You got to be able to provide your food. And then now that I have a almost 3-year-old daughter in my life, I realize how much time is valuable these days and how much I really could have royally screwed myself over in my career by not recognizing the need to get out of that mindset. And I was lucky enough to find this unicorn of a job that grew wings, became a Pegasus, and flew away into the sunset and just turned into this amazing thing. And then education on top of it. And I lost my train of thought, but we're talking about how I got out of my hellhole. That's how what it was. But, you know, it was the time that I did my transition from being a street paramedic to education for a while. And everything was flying with education. I was having a blast. I was reaching people. We were getting out and doing things. And then when things like COVID came, that was hard because my role mm-hmm. as EMS educator turned into compliance officer of N95 masks, donning and doffing, and how are we tracking our COVID numbers mm-hmm. and all of these, and all our, how are we tracking to make sure that we're in compliance with what we need to do to stay safe? There was little to no education because people didn't want to do it. We had one education on COVID and that was it, but we'll stop talking about that. But after that, it was, you know, hard to get people to want to engage again. It was hard. We had so many new people because the burnout rate through that time was so high. Nobody wanted to do the job. It was unsafe. People didn't want to, whether it was get vaccinated or wear masks, and then they would leave and all of these other things, which are all their own decisions. They can make those decisions. They're adult human beings. Mm-hmm. And then coming back to this underappreciative new staff and all of these things, it just, my world started to kind of crumble a little bit. And it was unfortunate because I love education. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of other like family issues and things like that happened in that time, but those were all worked through. And the root of the cause of a lot of those issues was work for me. And then having to step back, take a breath, call a good buddy and say, hey, what do you have going on down there? And my world turned back, right set up. Yeah. And but having that realization moment was really hard for me. And it was a lot of time talking to people, talking to counselors, getting the help that I needed to re-regulate myself to normal life again.
Yeah.
After
I love that you just said to regulate your life, because mental health is regulating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mental health is, you know, when we are unstable and we're kind of in those hell holes, right? Like, we're dysregulated from our body, like in our nervous system. And, you know, that is such a big push of mental health for me, is that it doesn't have to be this diagnosis or this issue or, you know, all of this astronomical, you know, astronomical things. Like you had just said, right? The workload, the family issues, the money, like all of these things are not those traumatic calls, but yet they're still affecting how you were being treated.
Yeah.
You know, and especially just the way of the world with COVID within our industry and how we are just simply treated as humans from the agencies and the admin, and, you know, and they're part of it. Like they get their grunt work too, but there isn't the full support.
Yeah.
We don't have the support from the community. You know, those were times where we were getting threatened.
Yeah. Oh, we still get threatened.
We still get threatened.
I've never been more disliked by people in my entire life than picking up old Meemaw or old Grandpa, and they're all butthurt because they tipped over, and then they want to spit on you or they want to hit you or throw their poop at you. I mean, like, it is the most thankless job on the face of the earth. Not that we're in it for the thanks by any means, but good God, does it weigh. It gets you down.
Yeah. It, and it's, you are around that, and then you think that the whole world is like that.
Yeah.
You know, I know that that was one of my biggest transitions when I got off of the ambulance and got into real estate. And I was just around these like very growth mindset people and these high valued, you know, life aspect individuals. And I was just like, what do you mean? People think like this?
Yeah.
Like, holy cow, I just haven't been around that.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to be able to bring that into the EMS side because the importance of them and first responders as a whole aspect is because they're working with the bottom 10% of society.
Yeah.
Like, and I've said it before, when you call 911, it's not because you're having a fucking happy day.
Yeah.
Right? You're not all like, hey, just want to tell you, like, I'm so excited. No, it's like, hey, get your ass here. Like, I need your help.
Yeah.
You know? And in 3 minutes and 7 minutes and 15 minutes to get to somebody's emergency feels like the eternity for them.
Yeah. I mean, when you add all those numbers together for a standard, like, door to at patient residence of, what is it? From the South Central area, it is 9 minutes during the day from the time that your tones go off to the time that you get to the residence. And then you get almost 10 minutes at the nighttime to get your ass out of bed, to do all these things. And people forget that. And I understand that it's stressful, but, you know, family members can be assholes too.
You're like, can you actually go into the room and just lock yourself in there? Because I don't need your input.
Yeah.
I remember one of my biggest like arguments with somebody was the father of this mother. And I'm like, she needs to get flown, you know, and, you know, you have to respect what their decisions are. And there was many more complexities to this, but I got a phone call from him the next day and he goes, I wish I would have listened to you. And I'm like, no fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, thank God your mom's still here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's hard. But then I also, every time I sit down and we all end up inevitably having a conversation like this, right? And we're on the dinner table. But then we got to think about like the happiness, the side of things like that. Like, I've never felt such joy from a job
either. Oh, yes.
Like sitting down and like just talking to the little old lady that calls you because she's lonely. I mean, like they're anxious. They, whatever their reasoning to get somebody to their house was, just to sit and talk with them. Like my old instructor said, he ingrained this into our head. And I can't thank him enough for this, was like, you know, we want you to be the paramedics that go into those situations and have no problem writing a 60-minute long chart on how you just talk to grandma there for a little bit, how you offered to take her garbage out, if there's anything else, to pick up the dog poop, to get her a glass of water. And those are the things that stick with me. It's not the death and the dying. It's the all the fun times that I've spent with people and, you know, keeping that regulation and that positive mindset throughout the career, because shitty things happen. It's part of life.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, we have to remember that we get into these spirals of listening to people talk about all the shit of our career and forget about the little great things that happen.
Yeah. And it's what keeps us in it, you know, like that's what we're trying to, you know, continue to do. And that's why I loved what you said about the regulation, is because people need to be able to take the time for their mental health so that they don't get grumpy over these grandmas that are like, hey, can you do this for me? Or I need, you know, can you lock the door? And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, yeah. Because that is your thinking pattern that is dysregulated right there.
Yeah.
That is mental health in that aspect, literally right there, you know? And as you were talking, I just had a laugh because I remember, you know, you precepting me and being on a call and you're like, Mackenzie, use your mom voice. Like, I know you have a mom voice. And I just remember like taking charge. And that is one thing that I always try to teach, you know, yeah. the people that I have underneath of me is like, no, use your mom voice. Like, you are in control,
yeah.
you know, and being a paramedic is you are like the boots on the ground in charge person.
Yeah.
Even if you have, you know, you have EMS there, you have, you know, law enforcement, you have fire, like you're in charge of that patient.
Mm-hmm.
They do what you tell them to do. And that can be intimidating, but that confidence behind there also, I'm tying this back, comes back to the education.
Yeah. It's you gotta be able to find that roar voice. You gotta let them hear your roar every once in a while. And it's an incredible feeling once you finally get up the courage to be like, I need you, and you out of my ambulance so I can work.
Mm-hmm.
When there's just people standing around doing nothing in a critical situation.
Yep.
And that's so cool. I'm so glad that ties back around. I forgot about that completely. Oh.
So as we wrap up, I want you to let people know, how can they get a hold of this product for you? I mean, there's agencies that I know off the top of my head that are like, hey, we need these educations. I know EMTs at the top of my head of like, I want to send them this information. How do they get a hold of this?
Yeah. So the best way to get a hold of me is you can email me at sam@sb4t.com. Or you can go to our website, that is standbyfortones.com. You will see listings for education. We're going to have everything for anything for anyone coming out over the course of the next year. I mean, like, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to build an empire, as we're trying to create right now. And then the other exciting thing, too, you can find us is in a couple months, you'll be able to find us in the Idaho State Nursing Catalog for Education. We'll be kind of based out of everywhere. And, you know, anybody in the 50 states that wants to come by and chat, we're going to have live sessions. We're going to do virtual online classes. There's going to be so many fun things that we got going on. I got lots of time off these days, so it's a great day to be alive.
Yay. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited that, you know, who I knew you back, you know, gosh, 6-7 years
yeah.
ago is still, you're still following your same passion.
Thanks.
You know,
it's been fun, and I can't believe the change and growth that you've had. Holy cow. Like, from badass to even more badass to badassery mastered. Like, that's what we're all aiming for, is badassery mastered. I'm gonna trademark that term there for
there
the next
you go.
Class
you just have my face up there.
Oh, man.
Well, Sam, I appreciate it for coming on. I'm so excited. You all can actually get his information in the show notes. I'm super excited to be able to, you know, just offer this information to my fellow first responders, the EMS, the people that are so dear to me in my life. I hope that today also just gave you some insight of what our world actually is like. Many of the public members just don't know exactly to what extent this is. And there are a lot of people boots on the ground really trying to change the culture, trying to change the pay structure, trying to change these schedules, because we are losing more first responders to suicide by in the line of duty deaths. And that comes back to the root causes, what is actually happening. So I encourage all of you to reach out to Sam if you want to get these into your agencies, if you want to send this to different individuals. I appreciate you guys so much for sticking around for another episode, and talk to you later. Bye. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You'd also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.